Hey, it's Ben and Kelly. Today on the podcast,
I need to put lotion on my weenus.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, not sober segments. Plus, there was a lot of drama that went down. We spoke to Samantha and the situation between her and her guy best friend and his fiance.
I mean, so much drama. Plus, dad jokes.
You laugh, you lose, stupid facts of the day, and brushing your teeth in the shower.
Oh, there's so much. Enjoy unpacking your Friday podcast.
Ben and Kelly.
So today is National Telephone Day. I'm only bringing this up because there was a newsreel by the company AT&T back in 1936 telling and helping you learn how to use a new dial telephone. Like, it demonstrates how to pick up a phone.
Rotary phone or the dial, like buttons?
Well, the rotary phone.
Yes.
Yeah, because before you'd pick it up and you'd ask the operator to connect you. So it literally taught you, it was entering into a new era, the personal telephone, you know, in your house. And it featured a young girl kind of doing this demonstration while the announcer is kind of explaining how to recognize the different sounds you're going to hear when you pick up the receiver, and like a dial tone, a ringing signal, a busy signal. He explains how to dial each number.
The telephones in this city will be changed to dial service, and all telephone numbers will be changed.
Wow. Okay.
Radio voices back in the day, TV voices.
Right.
Yeah. Before calling any number, first secure the number from your new directory. Then remove the receiver and listen for the dial tone. It's
okay. Okay. We're listening for the dial tone.
Sounds like this.
Okay. It's pretty standard dial tone sound there, sure.
Mm-hmm. With the receiver off the hook, dial the desired number.
Okay. Now you're going to actually dial the numbers of the person you want to talk to.
Be sure to allow the dial to freely return to its normal position. And this is the ringing signal.
Oh, look at that. That's how you know success.
Right.
You correctly dialed the number.
Right.
If the line is busy, you'll hear this busy signal.
Yeah, kind of
and
funny.
What does busy mean? Does that mean that they're on the phone?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Oh, or they're on the internet. Well, probably not in 1936, but, yeah, it's funny because I was just thinking about this and going, you know, there are probably, several people who are listening now who that's the first time they've heard that too.
They've probably never even seen a rotary phone.
Right. A rotary phone is not one of those things that's pretty common anymore. So, that's kind of funny that, you know, today being National Telephone Day, there was actually needing to be PSAs on how to use this newfangled piece of technology. So
instructions, yes.
This is setting the bar, Kelly, which is...
Well, it's typically an example of what not to do or a situation we hope doesn't happen to you.
Yeah, so I don't really know if this is a feel good or a setting the bar. And we'll get into it and you can maybe explain. But Ewan, who is, well, he's our star, he's not sure. If you can manage to make it through the day without accidentally buying back your stolen car, then you're doing okay.
I'm sorry, what?
Yes. So he's 36. He lives in the UK. He's Ewan. He woke up. Yeah, he woke up a couple months ago, realized his Honda Civic, his nice souped up Honda Civic, had been stolen out of his driveway. He was gutted, loved the car, reported it, did all the police insurance, the paperwork, all that stuff. Car never found. So he was like, you know, after a while, he was like, you know what? I just need to move on. So he wanted to buy something similar, right?
Yeah.
So he starts going around and he goes to a used car dealer about an hour away. And he finds literally the perfect match, right?
And like, look at this. It's almost like a carbon copy of my car. I'm going to buy it.
Yeah, $26,000. He signs the papers. But then he realizes it starts to feel a little weird. Like, the car wasn't detailed, right? So there was some stuff still left inside the car. There was like a piece from a tent. There was some Christmas tree pine needles still in the back.
This is from a dealership?
Yeah, there was some candy bar wrappers, right? The debris didn't really seem like trash. It felt familiar to Ewan. this was even more so weird when he got in and he was messing around with the car's navigation system and he saw his address and his parents' address were in the system's
still programmed
history.
Well, that's his car.
Yeah, okay. He said he nearly crashed, to be honest, because he was in shock. His hands were shaking. His heart was pounding. Took it back to the dealership. They confirmed that the VIN was his car.
Oh, my God. How did the dealership not do their due diligence to make
sure it
wasn't stolen?
They had been duped because the VIN number, mileage, the plates, they've all been tampered with and altered. But the key was the same key he had for his old car. So anyways, they figured out that the dealership had been duped also. He called the police. Ewan called the police. They couldn't believe the circumstances. And it sounds like, you know, the thieves, you know, did all this cloning work to change the car. And then they sold it to this used car place. And as far as we know, there haven't been any, like, arrests with this. But Ewan is trying now, he's in the process of trying to, like, get his money back, get his deposit back for the vehicle. It could be a feel-good story if all this happened, assuming he's able to, like, get the money sorted out and all that stuff. But he says, I don't really feel like this is a win. It feels like I've done something stupid.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
He's paid twice for the car now at this point. Yeah.
Right.
Understood.
Right.
But that's wild that, man, I guess thieves are getting good because, you know, he reported it stolen. Mm-hmm. So that VIN number was reported. So they somehow changed the VIN and everything. But then they were able to figure out, oh, the VIN was changed.
They figured out that, yes, this in fact was your car or is your car. And, it had been tampered with. But this is definitely your car. So I guess they're trying to work through, like, payment or, you know, who owes what or anything. Hopefully he gets all his money back and he just gets his car back. I mean,
he should.
Yeah.
And then the dealership should have some sort of, like, insurance policy.
Some insurance. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You'd like to think that they're able to file some sort of claim where they can get the money back that they paid for it.
Because clearly, even if it wasn't his car, he could say, well, you sold me a stolen car.
Yeah.
So that in and of itself should, you know, entitle him to the full refund. But how, first of all, dealership, what are you doing? If there's stuff like a piece of tent and all, like, and Christmas tree pine needles, how are you not detailing a car that you're selling?
So
even if you're a used car dealer.
I'm going to say that if they got the car in quickly and they haven't gone through detailing yet and he sees it pop up online, sometimes they'll just sell it because I know I bought a car one time and it was like, it popped up online. I was like, ooh, that's the one I want. Let's go get it. And they're like, yeah, we haven't detailed it yet. And so we'll let our guys like run a vacuum through it real quick. But you know, it's like they knew they already bought the car, so they didn't really vacuum it very well. So then once I got it, I had to sit there and detail it myself. You know what I mean?
I was going to say, if you're buying a car, even used one, I'm like, yes, please detail it for me.
That'd be great. Well, no. I did. I asked them to, but they didn't do a very good job. That's my point. Right. So anyways, setting the bar or feel good. I don't know. If you can manage to make it through the day without accidentally buying back your stolen car, you're doing okay.
Well, yeah, it's going to be feel good when the dealership does the right thing. Because,
right.
Because again, he could sue them. I feel like at this point, because they did sell him a stolen vehicle.
All right. So what's the most expensive dumb purchase you've ever made? I'm not going to say this is dumb. I'm only saying dumb because he feels dumb.
Right.
He says he feels dumb for doing this.
But he's actually kind of incredibly lucky
getting
especially if it's not damaged and it still, you know, still works like it did before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just had some extra pine needles and stuff.
All right. So what's the most expensive dumb purchase you've ever made? When I hear those stories, 502-795-1997. We'll take some of your stories coming up. That is your setting the bar story. Maybe you spent $26,000 on a car that wound up being your own.
Your stolen car.
Yeah. Maybe you chalk that up to a dumb purchase. Hopefully you can get your money back. But what's the most expensive dumb purchase you've ever made? John, we'll start with you.
So the dumbest purchase that I have ever made is When those Xboxes came out, those new generation Xboxes, it was impossible to get a hold of them.
Yeah.
I found one on Marketplace. I've spent $1,000 on it. I was so excited to get it that I didn't open the box. I get home, there was a giant Bible in the box.
Oh.
The dude didn't even give me the Xbox.
You got duped. Were you able to get your money back? What happened?
Oh, absolutely not. I got blocked.
Oh, no.
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. And how extra evil that you got a Bible.
Yeah, like, come on, man.
Wow.
Sarah said a $300 Dyson Airwrap because TikTok told me I'd have salon hair at home. Now it lives in my dresser, judging me like every expensive paperweight.
Oh, no. Oh, no. That is tragic. Tim says, my $1,200 Peloton, used it for 2 weeks. Now it's a glorified coat rack with built-in Bluetooth. And I still tell people I, quote, ride.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the Peloton. Yeah, those are great.
I've got one of those coat racks.
Oh, no. Kelly's like, I can relate. It's a very expensive coat rack.
We used it for more than 2 weeks, but still,
yeah,
not enough.
Yeah, it's one of those pieces of equipment that just is kind of gathering dust right now. Yeah, uh-huh. I get it.
Oh, dang it.
Most expensive dumb purchase you've made, Laura? Laura. $1,085 on crystals. I don't even know what they're supposed to do, but I spent a whole paycheck thinking amethyst would cure my dating life.
Oh, wow.
I guess
dating voodoo kind of stuff.
I guess it didn't. You know what? Sometimes you just got to pay that tax. And that is
a little bit of a stupid tax, but with the best of intentions.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes you just got to pay the tax and just move on with your life. Chalk it up like, all right, fine.
Yeah. Beth spent $90, not too much, on a personalized astrology chart.
Okay.
It told me I was most compatible with my ex.
Oh.
Who cheated.
Oh.
Twice.
Oh.
Thanks, Moon.
Oh, man. All right. Let's see. Oh, Hannah. These are most expensive dumb purchases. $800 bachelorette trip to Nashville. Girl I barely knew. I said yes out of FOMO.
Oh, no.
Ended up sleeping in a bunk bed hungover next to a girl named Tequila Tanya. That's funny.
She sounds fun.
She does sound fun.
She sounds fun. Stephanie, I spent $400 on meal prep kits.
Okay.
Because I was absolutely going to be that girl who cooks quinoa on Sundays.
Mm.
I am not that girl. I am Uber Eats girl.
I realized after that, you know what? This is not me.
I thought it could be me. It is not me.
A couple more. Randy, expensive dumb purchase, said, how about this? Spent $90 for a self-heating eye mask subscription.
Oh.
Yes, subscription. I got locked into a three-month plan for warm eyes. That's it. That's the whole thing.
Warm eyes. Wow.
All right.
Well, I've never heard of that.
Well, hopefully it was calming for that 3 months.
Oh, gosh, yes. Oh, Carrie spent $5,000 on a starter pack for a side hustle I never started.
Oh, no.
Because I just felt in my heart I was meant to sell essential oils. I was not.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Well,
that is one of the more pricey, like, okay, here's your business starter pack. That's a lot of money to invest.
Yeah, that is a lot of money.
Side hustle, like out the gate, that's already some stiff overhead. I mean, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Well, those are good stories. Thank you for that. It's most expensive dumb purchases you've made. 99.7 DJX. Time for group therapy.
When you need advice, come to Ben and Kelly. It's group therapy on 99.7 DJX.
Hi there, Samantha.
Yeah, hi, good morning.
Hey, first of all, thank you so much for allowing us to chat with you about this, because the message you sent us, it's kind of wild, but we always like to try to like get your real voice on it, you know?
And just to try to dive deeper maybe a little bit.
Yeah, too. So walk us through what's going on right now.
Well, okay, so I've been listening to you guys for years, and I love the group therapy segments.
Oh, thank you.
And now I was just like, okay, I need some outside perspective. So I have this best guy friend. Like, we've known each other since college, and he's just one of those people who became family over time.
Sure.
You know, just in your life. And we kind of, in college, we, like, sort of tested waters, tried dating for a few weeks. But it was nothing. And we both realized it was like, oh, this is like brother and sister. This is not boyfriend and girlfriend.
Been there. And for sure.
I was going to say, Kelly, I feel like
sounds familiar.
You relate.
Yep. It was like a week, but yeah.
Yeah. We laughed about it. And we've been like platonic, you know, ever since. Sure. And it's not been like anything.
Uh-huh.
So fast forward to now, he's getting married. And I've met his fiance. Honestly, I really like her. She's mm-hmm. sweet. She's smart. She seems like really genuinely good for him. And everything's cool and whatever. And then I found out she asked him not to invite me to the wedding.
Mm.
Oh.
Yeah. She told him that she's not comfortable with how close we are, even though nothing romantic happening, hasn't been nothing. Like, we didn't even talk about it for a decade.
So wait. Like, so I don't want to press too hard on how close you and your best friend got in college.
Uh-huh. Well, we didn't. That's the thing. Like, we didn't. We were like, oh, this is weird.
All right, go on.
Yeah, and we're 30 now, so it's like it's been a long time,
right.
You know. And but what hurts for me is that he agreed. He's like, he didn't even give me a heads up.
Really?
Like, I just find this out through a mutual friend that my guest. You know, the guest list didn't have my name on it.
Oh.
Wow.
So I asked him about it, and he was like, well, I didn't want to cause drama. I just wanted to keep the peace.
Typical guy.
I get wanting to make your partner feel comfortable, but I just thought I meant more to him than that. Like, as a, you know, I don't know. I'm not trying to be the girl who makes a wedding about herself, but, I can't help feeling a little heartbroken here. Like, I've stood by him through everything, like the breakups, the family drama, the job changes. And now that he's entering, like, this big chapter of life, I'm apparently a threat. Also, it's going to be, like, a fun party.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, yeah. It feels like you're more like family, like a sister figure for him.
I don't know. Honestly, like, everyone we know is going to be there. Should I step back and respect their boundaries? Or, like, am I right to feel like I don't know, I should... He should have stood up for me more.
Have you talked to her?
I don't know what I could have done.
Can you get to the root of why she thinks you're a threat?
Is it possible his fiance thinks more happened than really did? And
is that possible?
If she thinks that you and he had a more physical relationship back in the day, maybe I could see how that's.
Yeah, but there's no, we don't even really hug now. Like, you know, we'll high five.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not. There's nothing.
Yeah.
I'm just a friend of his from college, you know? I don't, but I mean, I'm one of his really good friends. And so I'm just so bummed. And like, he didn't even talk to me about it. He's just like, oh, I don't want to.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's tough, especially if a lot of people you know are going to be there and they're like, hey, why isn't Samantha there here? You kind of feel like
creating more drama than I'm not there.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking. It's going to be even more of a thing to try to explain that away. And then what's then going to be the bounding for your friendship moving forward? Is she expecting him to like cut you off completely? Like, I don't understand how she's not going to be comfortable with you at the wedding, but then is she going to be fine for you guys to like ever hang out again?
I don't know. Like, what does she think? I'm going to like stand up and object? Like, I don't.
Who knows, with a stressed out bride, like she might be making up all sorts of scenarios in her head of what she thinks might happen. I don't know.
Yeah, Samantha, this is a tough way to go any way you slice it. I mean, we've got several people that are already kind of messaging us with ways that you can approach this, and hopefully we'll come up with something that gets you to the wedding and makes his fiance feel better about it, makes him feel better about it.
Well, and it makes all her that. Feel better about your presence in his life in general.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. If he doesn't want drama, then I don't want to go and be like, hey, we need to talk, everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't want to have to approach, but maybe that's the only thing to do. I don't really know. Or is it more drama if I get another friend of mine to step in? Do I just not go and then really heavily post on social media that this other vacation conflicted or something?
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what to do here. I really don't. And it feels just so, I feel so icky about the whole thing.
Yeah, I get it. Samantha, we're going to try to help.
And hopefully, you know, she should feel cool and maybe want to make you one of her best friends.
I mean,
that could be best case scenario.
I thought I was just like both of their friends. And then now that's clearly not the case, you know.
Hey, do you mind if we follow up with you sometime early next week or Monday or something like that?
Yeah, that's cool. I've got some thinking to do anyway, so that's good. Okay, right. I mean, I love you guys. I love talking again.
Oh, I love you.
Well, thank you.
All right, I really appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
You know, that's a tough situation because you feel like you really know someone, and then, you know, his new... it sounds like this just came out in left field, you know?
Well, yeah, and I think she felt like maybe she was her friend, too. And now she's kind of finding out, oh, maybe not. And that's got to be jarring as well. Jen says his fiancé must have watched Grey's Anatomy. Okay. Kara's like, wedding crashers! Like, she should crash the wedding instead. Talk about drama.
That would be drama. There are a lot of people right now that are saying, hey, you got to respect his wishes and not go.
Like, yeah, Amber says, not go. Your feelings are valid on Facebook, and so is their decision.
Yeah.
Life comes before friends, and unfortunately, it may be that what seems innocent or normal to you and him comes across completely different to others, and it's okay for them to close that door as they enter a new, bigger chapter in life together. Wow.
Okay. 502-795-1997. Have you had to be in this situation? Either on Samantha's end or on the I'm getting married and I can't invite my friend because of her past end. Let us know your story. We'll try to help her out here. It's group therapy on 99.7 DJX. We are in some pre-wedding drama right now, thanks to Samantha and the fact that her best guy friend from college is nixing her from the wedding. Like, he didn't even...
Well, he's not. The fiancé is. And he's just kind of like, I don't want to cause any drama.
Yeah, he's kind of going along with it, but he didn't even tell her. Like,
no, and that is also shocking, too. Like, there's kind of a couple different layers to her pain that I totally understand.
Right, right. So have you been in that situation? Like, Britt rolls in and says, hey, look, it's not your job to make it easier on him. This is a choice he and his fiance made. Therefore, they are the ones that are going to have to face any backlash from her not being invited to the wedding.
That is true.
Mm.
Yeah, if he's trying to avoid drama, again, I think he might even be causing more drama, having to explain why she's not there, especially if everybody in their friend group has known they've been close for all these years.
Right.
Yeah, John says your feelings of hurt are valid. He was in a tough spot. Keep his future wife happy and comfortable or long-term friend happy. Wife is his future. He didn't handle it well by not giving you a heads up, but the end result is the same. So don't try to find an excuse for them. He can explain to people why you're not there.
Yeah. Andrew, the love doctor, calls our show all the time. Not a real doctor, but loves dispensing.
Good enough for us.
Yeah, the love advice. You're saying her feelings are valid, yeah?
Her feelings are validated and their foundation is validated, and I love the way she's approached it, but she's got to step back, let him and her have their day. Don't post anything on social media. Don't be a wedding crasher. Whoever said that's a moron. Don't do that.
she was kidding.
I know they were. I'm just saying though, guys, you got to respect it, and then later on down the road try to make amends somehow.
All right,
what does she say if friends are like, hey, why aren't you here? Because, you know, they all share like the same group of friends.
I might get petty and just say I wasn't invited.
It's easy. The answer to that is easy. She didn't feel comfortable with inviting me, and I respect that.
All right.
Okay.
Well, good. You're very mature, Andrew, the love doctor. Thank you as always.
Keep on loving, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. So many people, Ashley, saying the friendship's going to be forever changed.
Yeah.
She's so sad. It's because she literally got him through so many big life moments, and now he's like literally leaving her in the dust without at least trying to fight for
their friendship. Yeah.
Like, you know, she's been like a sister, a family member to me this whole time. You're my future. I want you both to be in my life, and I want you to see how wonderful she is and her to see how wonderful you are. Like, I want there to be a way where the two women become close too, so everybody can still hang out and be comfortable.
Yeah, I almost feel like, okay, if they come back and say, you know what, you're right, we want you here to the wedding.
You're like, fine,
no. I know, no, I know. No, I might, no. I might
it's
almost
fine.
Be like,
we're fine. Everything's fine.
You know what?
We're fine.
Don't need to go anymore. This is a tough putt just because there's so many different, that there's history between them and.
Well, and I feel like there's has to be like confusion about that history.
Yeah.
Like maybe fiance is just thinking there was just way more of a, of a dating situation there. Than
yeah, and clearly she says it's that's not the case, and maybe maybe fiance just doesn't know that.
Right.
You know, I don't
know. Maybe if there's a conversation that can clear that up, I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, good luck. And yeah, like I said, we're going to try to follow up with you maybe. I know next week's Derby week, but we're going to try to follow up with you, you know, coming up here shortly. All right. So keep us posted. Good luck. That is Group Therapy on 99.7 DJX. So look, this has come up on the show before. It actually came up yesterday, in fact, at work.
Oh.
Once again, I've been made to feel like I am some sort of mutant for the hygiene routine that I commonly do.
Okay. Let's dissect it.
Where do you brush your teeth, Kelly?
In the bathroom.
Yes.
Over the bathroom sink.
Specifically.
That's where the toothbrush and the toothpaste are located, standing over the sink. That's where the water is.
Okay.
Rinse and spit. Why is that? Why are we confused?
I am a shower brusher.
You do so much in the shower.
I do everything in the shower, Kelly.
I know. I know.
I'm efficient.
I don't understand why we're doing some of these things together in the same place.
Okay,
like, that's your toilet. That's where you clean yourself. And we brush our teeth. Do we eat in there, too?
It's a one-stop shop. Sometimes I drink.
Great. That's great.
My thought is, hey, while I am waiting for, you know, the shampoo to do the shampoo things... You know, I can
just marinate a little bit.
Yeah, marinate. I don't know. I just, you know, brush my teeth there, and I've got the water. I can, you know, spit, and everything is good.
So you're putting shower water in the mouth to rinse, and you got your toothbrush or your toothpaste, all the things in the shower, or do you grab it off the countertop and take it into the shower with you every morning?
That's what I do.
That feels like effort.
I take the toothbrush, put toothpaste on it.
So you can't take 2 seconds to just stand there and brush your teeth at the sink. You have to grab it and remember to grab it and take it into the shower with you. I feel like that takes more effort.
Brandon Texan, how much is Ben's water bill?
Seriously.
Listen, let's not worry
about... Is it a water conservation thing?
I think it's just an efficient thing. See, Michelle texts in and says, I'm a shower brusher too. See, I think that it is kind of an efficient thing. In my brain, I'm like, okay, if I'm getting in the shower, I'm gonna, you know, kill two birds with one stone sort of thing.
Heather eats oranges in the shower.
Oh. Okay, that's not something I've done before.
She highly recommends it.
I will say, because oranges are very sticky. That's a sticky fruit. So
it's automatically you wash your hands off.
Yeah. I was going to say that's good. I like
but
that.
But then there's cleanup of the peel right afterwards.
I mean, you just toss the peel over the shower curtain and aim it for the sink.
Great idea.
And so then you just pick it up when you get out of the shower.
Okay.
So I guess, is it normal to do more than just shower in the shower? I say yes. That is my thing. It's like, okay, if I've got to brush my teeth, which I do routinely, I don't have a whole lot of time. You know, I'm very time efficient when it comes to showering. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to brush my teeth. I'm going to shower. I'm going to get everything done that I need to get done. You know,
what happens if you forget to grab the toothbrush and the toothpaste before you get in the shower?
That's not an issue, Kelly. I always do it.
Okay. Never forget. And Michelle's like, have you ever dribbled toothpaste on your chin? In the shower, doesn't matter. Dribble all you want.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. You can dribble it on your chest. You've got other things that you can dribble it on. It's fine. It'll wash right off.
Did you just say other things? Or you just bend over the sink? And then you don't
or
have to
you
worry
just
about
do it
on any other
in
part
the
of your
shower,
body.
And it doesn't matter.
I have like one of those rechargeable toothbrushes. Do you have one of those, or is it just like the one you get free at the dentist?
Why did you
it's
say
efficient.
It like
you don't
that?
Even have to go to the store to buy one. You can just grab one from your cleaning visit. They give you a little baggie of goodies, a little travel size toothpaste.
I felt kind of attacked when you said, or do you just? Take the free one that the dentist give you.
You're all about the efficiency.
That is what I do. It
saves you a trip.
It's the hand crank toothbrush. It's the old school hand crank toothbrush.
Okay, there's a lot of shower brushers that are actually coming out to support.
Yeah, I was going to say, Casey rolls in and she says, total shower brusher here, but Ben's an amateur. Ooh, go on, Casey. She says, I keep separate brush and paste in the shower, and the citrus oils from eating an orange in the shower in the steam is great.
Wow. Oh, great. So Casey's on board with both.
She's doing...
Keep brush and paste in the shower all the time. And then citrus oils in, is highly recommend.
Yeah, okay. she's full on spa treatment in the shower. I kind of like that.
Okay.
I kind of like that.
So this is, okay, she has a separate brush and paste in this. So what Casey's telling me is she has one set for the shower. She has another set for the sink for nighttime, right? Cause you're not getting in the shower to brush your teeth at night.
What I do, and this will be not to you, Kelly, but I'm speaking specifically to Casey. This is what I'll do. I'll take, and I have the little like hanger thing in the shower. So I'll take the toothbrush out. I have to physically go and grab the toothbrush out of the shower at night to do my evening routine.
It sounds complicated to me. I just always know where
Kelly's-
it is. It's just right there next to the sink. Got a little cup, too. And Michelle says, Kelly, are you jealous that we spend a fraction of the price on our toothbrush? Just think, you can get so many different angles. You don't have to worry about toothbrush splatter in the mirror. And then I totally support this. My husband even brushes his teeth in the shower. All right. You guys can have little club meetings if you want with your little shower brushers.
All right. So what I'm hearing from this is Kelly says, no, it's not normal. I have a small group of mutants like myself who say, yes, go on, be the shower brusher.
Yes.
Thank you.
They have come out. You have support for your do everything in the shower crew.
I'm telling you what, efficiency at its best.
I'm going to keep being bougie and just stand over the
bougie with your expensive electric toothbrush.
I feel like God gave us kitchen or bathroom sinks for these kinds of purposes.
All right.
Wash
so normal or
face,
nope. I'm going to say that's normal.
Teeth.
Kelly says it's not. We'll end it there. We can argue this obviously for the rest of the show, but we're not.
Congratulations. You got more validation than sharing your brush with your dog. So that's what a great day.
Thank you. Hairbrush, not toothbrush.
Oh,
hairbrush.
Sorry. Yes. Sorry.
Yes. Hairbrush.
We don't share our toothbrush with the dog, right?
Yeah. It's 99.7 DJX. Let's do a feel good story. Every hour we give you feel-good stories, Kelly Kay.
We had the honor of meeting Penny from the Aero Fund to talk about a fundraiser this weekend. Now, Penny is a dog. Lindsay is a teacher at Assumption High School, and Penny's human. And Penny's got quite the backstory.
The Aero Fund is her rescue. Penny was found in December of 2020. She was thrown from a car in a plastic bag.
Unbelievable.
And when she was examined by vets, they realized three of her four legs had been broken from human abuse over 2 weeks before she was thrown out. But everyone who knew her in that moment saw this fight in her eyes that she wanted to survive, that there was more to give. And the Aero Fund stepped in and they said, if she's willing to fight, we're willing to fight.
We'll fund
that.
all the things.
Give up on her. She recovered for about a year in her injuries. We fostered her during that time, and now she is thriving. She has no PTSD, loves everyone. She's a therapy dog now.
And she looks fantastic in her dress.
She is so cute. She's wearing a derby dress and a derby fascinator. And yeah, so they're going to have prizes for the best derby dress dogs, family games, craft beer, and great food. It's happening at the Furry Derby Pate. That's tomorrow, 2 to 6 p.m. Noble Funk Brewing Company downtown. It's free, but they always encourage donations to the Aero Fund, either on site or online. We've got all the info, the complete conversation, and pictures on our website at wdjx.com. Brought to you by Bell of Louisville.
So we have dove down the wormhole of what it would sound like if the show weren't completely sober. And the way we do this is we just take some segments that we do from time to time and we just slow them down. We don't necessarily do the segment in a not sober state.
No, we're always completely sober. We're professionals. But if you slow down the audio, it doesn't really sound like that.
Yeah. So, for example,
you can dribble it on your chest.
You've got other things that you can dribble it on. It's fine. It'll wash right off.
Did you just say other things? Or you just bend over the sink?
Of course, we were talking about brushing our teeth in the shower.
This is a conversation that just happened.
And then you don't worry about dribbling on any other part of your body.
And it doesn't matter.
Dumb when we were talking at regular speed.
It sounded dumb.
But this is like 10,000 times dumber.
Okay, what about this?
Alec is teaching people how to speak cat.
Oh, wow. Another questionable conversation. I can't.
Kelly's wheeze.
It takes 10,000 years to get it out.
Hang on. I want to hear that again. Kelly's wheeze. Oh, shoot.
I can't.
What are you doing?
Oh, my gosh.
What are you doing? Oh, shoot.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
I forgot about that conversation. That's 1,000% perfect for this.
The cat knows he's insane.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
The cat knows he's insane. Oh, wow. People are just tuning in, and they have no idea what they're listening to.
Yeah, so this is if Kelly and I did the show not sober. This is what it might sound like.
Kelly from Crescent Hill, all caps, no, guys, I can't do this today.
All right, so here's another example. We just slowed down the audio. That's all we did. But
Robin,
it sounds,
you guys are killing me with this drunk segment.
It absolutely sounds ridiculous. All right, one more here.
Just wanted to follow up about your chat about butt cracks.
What?
I'm dead. Hang on. We gotta do that one again.
Just wanted to follow up about your chat about butt cracks.
Why are we talking about butt cracks?
Which, by the way, is a great way to start. Let me just follow up with you about your chat about butt cracks.
Oh, shoot.
Why were we talking about butt cracks? I don't even remember that conversation. Did I block it out from trauma?
I think a listener had written to us and said, hey, you taught me something. It was like the medical term for a butt crack.
Oh, that's
was like
right.
A gluteal something cleft or something.
Gluteal cleft.
Yeah. And so she was like, hey, just wanted to let you know I was able to apply that in real life.
Oh, that's right. It's like it was a nursing. She was a nurse or nursing student or something like that. Oh, Renee says I had to pull over before I pee.
Yeah. But when you started with.
Just wanted to follow up about your chat about butt cracks?
Kills me.
Should we do one more?
Oh, gosh. Oh, why not?
All right, we'll do one more.
Why not?
All right, this is if Kelly and I did the show not sober. Yeah, we're just slowing the segment down here.
I mean, hey, there's all sorts of great names of body parts.
What?
Oh, hang on. Hang on. Right? Hang on.
Like weenus.
Yes, Kelly.
Weenus.
Yeah, weenus being
that's one of my favorites.
The what is
skin
that?
Over
the
elbow
skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, your weenus.
Yeah.
You know, and you can talk about my weenus is dry and crusty and
right.
You know,
I need to put lotion on my weenus.
Yeah. Are you kidding me right now? Oh shoot. All right, wait, there's
if this is the snapshot that anyone's getting of our show,
they're like
they
this
think that I have never heard anything more ridiculous in my life. How do
this is the stuff we talk about. Oh my god, there's 15 seconds more of this.
There's more?
There's 15 more seconds. Hang on.
Put lotion on your weenus. Yeah, for sure.
Someone's just hearing that and they have no idea what we're talking about because they didn't hear the explanation of what that is.
Oh, Kelly from Crested, all caps. I cannot function. My mascara. I know.
Anyways, that was good. So yeah, there you go. A little not sober segment. If Kelly and I were to do the show not sober, maybe that is what we would sound
maybe
like.
Before we bring any of these topics up on air, we stop and think, how is this going to sound if we slow it down?
It's
going to
sound like this.
Just wanted to follow up about your chat about butt cracks.
Oh, shoot. Good talk.
I mean, did you hear the tone? Even at 50% speed. Yeah. Yeah, I heard it.
Oh, it was good. All right. Hey, that's fun stuff. Thank you, guys.
Stephanie's like, I am dying.
Yeah. All right, time for jokes.
Whoever laughs first loses. If you laugh, you lose. With Ben and Kelly on 99.7 DJX.
All right, Trump is mean. It's time for You Laugh, You Lose, a game where Kelly and I sling jokes back and forth. First person who laughs loses. It's all for this fun trophy and bragging rights, of course. Losers go first, Kelly.
That's been me. I've been on a streak.
You've been on a streak, but that could change at any moment.
Absolutely. Thank you for the encouragement. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
You know astronauts?
I've heard of them.
Not sure why they're called that. You know what they should be called?
What?
Scientists.
Scientists. That's very good.
Right?
Kelly, I used to date a girl who was cross-eyed. You know, we broke up because she was seeing someone else.
Yes, she was. She was. Oh, okay. Hey, Ben.
Yeah?
You know jet skis?
I've heard of them.
Why are jet skis called jet skis? They should be called boatercycles.
Boatercycles.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. This is where we're going.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, Kelly.
Yeah.
What do you call Katy Perry in a sandbox?
Speaking of a scientist, what do you call Katy Perry in a sandbox?
An archaeologist.
Why is that?
It's obviously a thinking person's joke.
It is. You're going to have to talk to me like I'm five. I don't get it.
She went up in space and she called herself a...
Oh, yeah, now I get it. Okay. That's a good one.
Oh,
that's a good one. Hey, Ben, do you know necklaces?
I've heard of them.
You know necklaces? Why are they called necklaces? They should be called neckerations. Write them down. Write them down because they're good.
Hey, Kelly.
Yeah.
I just heard that Katy Perry stood in a puddle.
Did she?
Now she's a deep sea diver.
She is a deep sea diver indeed.
Yes,
she is. Yes, she is. Hey, Ben, you know emotional baggage?
I've heard of it.
Yeah, why did they call it emotional baggage? You know what it should be called? Your grief case.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good. Write it down.
I've been writing them down.
Yeah.
Writing them down.
Is Katy Perry doing anything else? I really am on a journey with her.
Hey, Kelly.
Yeah?
Actually, no. You can sit this one out. Let me tell you about Kelly a little bit, all right?
Oh.
There was a package once delivered to Kelly's front porch. Package said, do not bend. 3 days later, poor Kelly still trying to figure out how to pick up the package.
That could be a true story.
Because it said, do not bend.
Could be a true story.
She's still wondering.
That could be a true story. Hey, Ben, do you know tears?
I've heard of them.
You know tears? Why are they called tears?
Why?
You know what they should be called?
What?
Sad water.
Hey, Kelly, why couldn't the bicycle stand up by itself?
It was too tired.
Too tired.
Hey, Ben.
Huh?
Why do ducks have feathers on their tails?
Why?
To hide their butt quacks.
Why is that one funny?
Because of our previous conversation we just had.
You know, Kelly, I wouldn't buy anything with Velcro.
You wouldn't?
Total ripoff.
Totally. Hey, Ben.
Yeah?
How many apples can you grow on a tree?
How many?
All of them.
Hey, Kelly, what did the grape do when it got stepped on?
What did the grape do when it got stepped on?
Let out a little wine.
Probably Arbor Mist. Hey, Ben.
What?
Guy was buying a banana, an apple, and two eggs. The cashier said, you must be single. The man says, wow, how did you know that? Cashier says, because you're ugly.
That was good. That was good. So I like that.
It's so mean.
Wow. All right, take the trophy, Kelly. That was funny.
Thank you.
There you are. You laugh, you lose.
I love all the things that Katy Perry is doing, though.
Yeah, you know?
Wow.
Really, really, really talented.
She
That's right.
is doing some big things.
Oh, it's 99.7 DJX. Little stupid fact of the day. You ready for this?
Let's do some learning.
All right. Eyeball news today.
Eyeball news?
I know. I bet you didn't think that we were going to talk about eyeballs today.
I did not, but I'm excited.
So there was a team at Berkeley that discovered a brand new color that you can only see if they blast your eyes with lasers.
Oh, wow. It sounds also a little ouchy. Like, I don't know if I want my eyes blasted with lasers.
Right. I mean, apparently only 5 people have seen it so far. They call the new color Olo, and they say it's kind of a green-blue. Here's someone that kind of gives more justification to this stupid fact.
If you haven't heard, scientists just created a new color, and only 5 people in the world have seen it. It's called Olo, and no, you can't just Google it. It's a color outside what humans can usually see. So to see it, scientists had to shoot a laser directly into people's eyeballs. Here's how it works. Our eyes see color using 3 types of cone cells that pick up blue, green, and red wavelengths.
Okay, are you following so far?
Okay.
But these cones overlap. So any light that activates the green cones also hits the blue or red ones. And that overlap limits the colors that we can see.
Okay. Okay.
This is very science-y.
I'm telling you, Kelly, you always challenge my stupid facts of the day, so I'm trying to give you the
in-depth explanation.
Yes.
But researchers figured out a workaround. They used lasers to stimulate only the green cones, and that made a color that doesn't exist in nature or anywhere on screen.
Yeah, so they're basically trying to almost replicate the Wizard of Oz green in this. And
so wait, can they change the color of your eye to this color?
No.
The closest comparison is a super saturated teal, but apparently even that doesn't come close. They named this technique Oz, after the Wizard of Oz, where Dorothy steps into the Emerald City that's bursting with this unreal hyper-saturated green that the researchers were trying to create.
Yeah, so...
Okay, so wait, are they going to make it like into a colored contact lens that you can change your eye color to that? Or like, how can we apply this?
Right now, this color only exists in science and doesn't exist on like a color palette.
Okay. All right.
Because apparently we can't, like, the human eye can't see this color. You know how dogs can't see colors, certain colors? Well, the human eye apparently can't see this color green, but they've discovered this color green.
What I'm asking,
Okay.
Is can we, are they going to, is the goal to be able to change eye color if someone wants, like cosmetically speaking?
No, I don't know. Maybe
is this
that's
going to be like the next cosmetic procedure?
Yeah, maybe that's
hotness.
Maybe that's something that happens after all this. Who knows?
Like, I'm going to go for some Botox and to change my eye color.
Yeah, what would you change your
laser store?
What would you change your eyes to?
Colored contact lenses before I got LASIK.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a bright kind of like a teal green.
Uh-huh.
It was a bright green.
Yeah, I have like
just enhanced. I have hazel eyes, but I just made them brighter.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that's what I'm hearing, like this is where the research could go.
Maybe. That sounds like fun.
We can change your eye color to
OLO. So I want a butt lift and go ahead and hit me with some of them new eye colors.
I'm going to get some Botox and an OLO in the eye.
I mean, but right now they're saying you, like, none of your friends would be able to see the color, so it would be useless.
Well, that's
like,
why
you literally
it's going
can't
to
see
be
it.
Like, well, what I'm thinking is they'll be able to like tattoo your iris, right? Your mm-hmm. eye color.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what it's going to lead to. It's going to make OLO a color,
okay.
So then they can permanently change your eye color.
And you know what?
For cosmetic
Here's the thing.
Purposes.
What if they go through all this trouble and the color is actually just a terrible color? Like, you'd never want to use it anyways.
Could be. I mean, that's the risk with science, right?
Yeah, I guess. All right, so there you go. That's your stupid fact of the day.
Wow.
Brand new color. You can't see it, though. OLO.
That's great. That's great. A color you can't see. What an advancement.
On 99.7 DJX. Every hour we give you feel-good stories. Kelly Kay.
So there's an 18-year-old girl named Victoria asked social media for some feedback on her prom dress. Now, she's been homeschooled, and a friend invited her. So the caption in the video said, "Someone please tell me this is a good prom dress. Mm-hmm. This is all I can afford."
Mm.
She works at McDonald's. The video got over 6 million views.
Thank you so much, everybody. I've literally been crying for the past day and a half. Because everyone's being so nice, and my little sister is so excited because I get to go to prom. And I get to have a dress, and my nails are going to be done.
Aww.
Yeah, so she said, "I thought I'd get a couple of opinions, maybe suggestions on how mm-hmm. I could like zhuzh it up."
Mm-hmm.
And then it went viral. Comments ranging from compliments to suggestions for styling her hair, along with offers to buy her accessories and to do her makeup. And some people said, you know, "Can you dance in it? Do you feel pretty? Then yes, lovely. It's a wonderful prom dress." Another comment, "That's not a dress. It's the queen that wears it proudly." Another comment, "Wear the dress, go to the prom, eat the cake, enjoy your life. I'm 54. I can't explain to you how fast time flies."
Aww.
And then people didn't just give her that vote of confidence. They also started to send her money. They were, you know, I think starting off with just like, "Hey, accessories, let's, you know, pay for your makeup." And she got enough to cover prom, graduation, another dress for her National Honor Society ceremony, and even pay more for her EMT training.
Oh, wow.
So, and then she's going to kind of use whatever's left over to buy supplies to make crocheted stuffed animals that she makes and create an Etsy store to sell those.
Wow.
I know. She's like starting a little business.
Yeah.
She said in a follow-up video she was so grateful for everything from the highest donations all the way down to just a comment of, "You look pretty."
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah,
I like it when the internet actually does good.
Exactly. Yeah, and this is absolutely one of those situations. Like, you know, 6 million views, pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. See the full story and those videos at WDJX.com, brought to you by Sam Aguiar Injury Lawyers.
It's time for Setting the Bar story, Kelly, which is...
That's an example of what not to do.
Yeah, how much do you want to be the cool manager, right? Well,
there's got to be like a boundary.
There is a boundary
between being cool but still having authority.
This is one of those boundaries. If you can manage to make it through the day without giving your underage employee a gummy because they asked for it at work, then you're doing okay.
Like a special gummy?
Yeah, like a little special gummy. Like a little pot gummy, a little marijuana gummy there.
A little added ingredient gummy.
Yeah, you know, it's not legal in Oklahoma. And Darlene, who works at a fast food place, claims that her 16-year-old employee asked her for one. So she said, okay, gave it to her. The girl didn't get just like high. She also got sick and she barfed and was, you know, really out of it, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, the ambulance had to come, you know, bring the girl out of it. The girl's going to be okay, by the way.
Okay, but, that's good.
But, you know, Darlene says she only gave her one, but technically we don't know if, like, the girl already, you know, had been taking some or if it was just a bad reaction to it or maybe the gummy was way more, you know, milligrams than maybe she was expecting. Here is the officer.
She was throwing up, being sick from all the stuff she ingested. I was just kind of taken back a little bit about why did you give it to her or whatever. How did she end up with it? You know, because she asked for it.
Okay.
Because she asked for it. Well, why not? Well, she asked for it. So I said,
okay,
here you go. So again, you know what? Hey, we're all for having a cool manager or having a cool lead, you know, in your department. But when it borders on, you know, doing things illegal and contributing to the delinquency of a minor, that's where we got to kind of be like, no.
You're not a good idea.
Yep, that's your State of the Bar story on 99.7DJX. It's Ben and Kelly on 99.7DJX. Earlier we were talking with Samantha, and she was in kind of a pickle because she has a really good guy friend who she has known for a long time, all right? And she said that he's getting married. She knows his fiance. However, the fiance was like, yeah, you can't invite Samantha to the wedding because you guys are too close. Now she
Yeah, and she was kind of sucker punched in both ways because she kind of thought that she was friends with the fiance too.
Yeah.
And now this is kind of a gut punch in both ways because also her guy friend didn't even tell her, give her a heads up. She found out from someone else. She was not on the invite list. Ouchie.
Yeah. And we couldn't help but think, man, that is like, there was history, according to Samantha. They did try the whole boyfriend girlfriend thing for like a couple weeks and she said it didn't work out. Felt very brother sister. So they just went back to being friends and they've been friends ever since.
Right. And maybe fiance thinks it was deeper than that.
Yeah.
And that's why she feels threatened and thinks, nope, you can't be there. But we were just kind of like, well, what does that mean for the rest of their friendship? Like, yeah, is that friendship over too?
Yeah. And a lot of people are like, you got to respect the wishes of your friend and not go.
I was really stunned at how many people are just like, yep, just accept your friendship's over. Cause it's like, she's been a significant part of his life for a long time.
So,
and been through with him through lots of things.
So
and
we're
it's sad that they can't translate their relationship, their friendship into his new married life.
Yeah. So we're going to try to follow back up with Samantha. She's going to try to, like, I don't know, figure out what to do and do something this weekend.
I hope she has a conversation with the bride and just maybe get to the root of why she feels like she's a threat.
Yeah. So we're going to get a follow-up for you coming up Monday on 99.7DJX. Can't wait for that, right?
Yeah.
You can follow up on everything at Ben and Kelly Show and catch yourself up. It's going to be a wet day to day, according to Wave Storm Tracking Team. But as far as we know, things like the Kroger's Festival or the Chow Wagon, those are still open, rain or shine. The 5K that's happening, that's still going down tonight. Kelly and I will see you bright and early tomorrow at the beginning of the end of the mini and the marathon there.
Thank you, runners. Thank you, runners, for making me get up that early on a Saturday. I really do appreciate that. I really appreciate runners that you like to get your run in so early in the morning.
Oh,
when mama likes to sleep in on a Saturday. But I'm going to be there cheering you on. It's going to be
That's right. It'll be great.
It'll be great.
By the way, I did run into a couple listeners last night when I was out at Packet Pickup there at the Expo there at Freedom Hall. One of them is Eric and his friend, and they every year, or at least for the past 5 years, have dressed up for the mini and the marathon. So they're running.
I always love seeing that. That's entertaining. And seeing, like, you know, little costumes that people put together or little, like, you know, team outfits.
Yeah. So they went as, Young Forrest and Old Forrest, 1 year.
I love it. That is perfection.
They went as Wayne and Garth from Wayne's World.
Yes, Wayne's World.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And so, like, fully committing, running in jeans and wigs and carrying, like, drumsticks and a guitar and stuff
that
like that.
That is special dedication. So because they, that is, that's got to be difficult to do.
And you know what? I hope I don't, like, they showed me what they're going as tomorrow. So if you see.
Well, don't reveal it if it's a secret.
See, I don't know if it is. I don't know if it is. Should
well,
I say?
Well, if you don't know, then don't. You right, just well, tell me secretly so I'll know to recognize.
Well, I'll say just look for those in orange and blue. Okay?
Orange and blue.
Orange and blue.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah, that's tomorrow as far as the mini and the marathon are concerned. And if you're coming into Louisville, you're brand new to Louisville, you've stumbled upon this show, welcome to the city. I hope it treats you well. And
we'd like to keep you company along your run.
Yeah, we'll keep you company along your run and all that stuff. So if there's anything from the show, you can always catch up on our podcast at Ben and Kelly Show, WDGX.com. Just tap the listen tab and then you can follow up on, I mean, we've had follow ups on some group therapy segments like threefold earlier this week.
Yeah, it was a full on like miniseries.
Yeah. Yeah. Netflix miniseries. That's for sure. So yeah, you can catch up on all of that stuff. Any segment that you may have missed from the not sober segment to,
which, by the way, Jared said, can you imagine if people never, you know, never been here tuning in to Country Akon and not sober Ben and Kelly?
No. Country Fight Akon.
I think there's stereotypes for a reason, and yeah, we might be that reason.
Maybe we're helping the stereotype. We don't know.
Maybe.
All right. So whatever you do, hopefully we see you this weekend. And if you do see us, hey, high fives all around. We'd love to meet you. So, I guess we'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have a good one.
Okay, bye.